Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yes, you're very welcome along to the Huddle Breakdown. Enda here in the company of Juco James. Alan Morrison isn't with us. He's on a beach somewhere enjoying a nice couple of beers in celebration, James, in celebration that once again Rangers were coming. Once again they were coming. They were coming hard this time. But once again they have slipped up and given Celtic the edge going in to the final stretch of the season with their defeat to Ross County. Celtic, on the other hand, were victorious over St. Mirren, a 3-0 victory at Celtic Park with the pitch covered in garbage. James, firstly, like I used an Americanism there, garbage. Like, in terms of on-the-field action, the most exciting part in the first half was watching the flyers and banners and rubbish all flying around the pitch.
It was, but before we get into the game, I just, in case Alan listens to this, I want to remind him that when he wakes up from his day drinking binge, to reapply sunblock, because it's, you know, our people, we need to make sure that we get proper protection when we're gallivanting around beaches drinking too much during the day. That was wild. But, you know, before we went live, I mean, it really was a tale of two halves. And I think part of that's, you know, could reasonably be misattributed, given we've had so many of these where, you know, we play really well in one half and the other half you just rather forget. And I really do think that the wind was the primary factor of that in the first half. And if you just look at, you know, again, some of the numbers in the first half, we had one shot. St. Mirren won the XG game in the first half, barely. They had two shots. None of them were really good by either team. And then in the second half, we had 18 shots. They had zero. And it was basically 2.5 in XG, and obviously the goals. The other thing I'll say is I was going to do a thread on Twitter, and I just got lazy and didn't do it before the game, is, you know, I run my little dopey attribution model thing, and I think St. Mirren and Robinson display one of the bigger managerial, I shouldn't say managerial, because people conflate that with recruitment too, head coach quality in the league this season. I mean, I think he's done a really good job. And in that first half, with the wind kind of aiding them, you know, the way that they play defensively, they actually have run the third highest defensive line in the league this season on average. You know, they're not really aggressive going forward. They don't high press a ton, but they run kind of a higher middle block, if that makes sense, you know, closer to the midway line. And they gave us a lot of problems with the wind impairing us during that first half. And I presume that they would at least give us a battle for quite a period of time in the game. That was without knowing that there was going to be gale force winds in our face in the first half, and dodging all the rubbish, the garbage, as you would say, and flying about the pitch. So yeah, that's kind of from a high level, I think that's kind of how the game broke down.
Well, that's sort of the difference between data analytics and stats, in that if you just look at stats, then you would say, oh, well, Celtic were really bad in the first half and St. Mirren were really good in the first half. But in reality, you have to actually look at what's the context of these numbers? And the numbers, the context of that was a gale force wind. There is that aspect as well of like, as a St. Mirren, as the St. Mirren team, as the captain or whatever, when it comes to the toss, do you stay with the wind in the first half? Do you go with the wind in the first half and hope that you get a goal and hope then that you can bet in when Celtic have the wind? Or do you do the opposite? Do you force Celtic to play into the wind, hope that they get tired out by the second half? It's obviously easier to keep a clean sheet, as we saw, when you have the gale force wind to your advantage. So that aspect of things is an underrated thing, I would say, in Scotland, is that the weather is a bit of an equalizer at times, and it was for the first 45 minutes.
Yeah, I actually agree with that strategy, meaning I think trying to get the goal in the first half makes sense, and then if you're going to get pinned back because of the wind anyway, it's better to, you know, it's better to have a lead to defend versus, you know, being down 2-0 and hoping to catch back up in a wind-aided second half. So I actually agree with that. And if you look at the nature of the two shots that they did have, you know, they were kind of breakaway. You know, they were kind of wind-aided. You know, they didn't do all that much with them. Again, I would argue that has more to do with the quality of players that they have. But they, you know, they had a lot of like sequences of play where something more could have come of it. So, you know, and if you just think about it from a positional perspective and set plays being the perpetual potential equalizer for teams against us domestically, is you would think with the wind you'd have more of a chance to get long throws and corners and that kind of thing. So, yeah, I think they were smart. And again, I think Robinson has overall been a pretty smart head coach this season. I think they did mostly what they could to try and maximize their chances of winning. But as we'll get on to, I mean, it's just quite the hill to climb for them with our barrage in the second half.
There were some interesting selections in the team. I guess one of them was injury forced, and Navrotsky coming in as centre back for Liam Scales, and then Yang started the game on the left wing with Kuhn on the right, and it was incredibly frustrating to watch in the first half. It has to be said, having two players that both needed to cut in on their stronger foot against that wind, it's just, you're just always going to end up having to recycle the ball, because ultimately when you cut in, they're closing down the space, they're closing the gaps, so it's just not going to work, and you're not going to smash one in using the force of the wind if you're playing against it. So I didn't really see the logic in that one. But starting with the defense with Navrotsky, again, it's so hard to judge a player off these games, because I mean, St. Mirren really didn't offer that much going forward, especially in the second half. But comfortability on the ball, rustiness, still definitely some rustiness there, but in terms of what he brings in comparison to Scales, how did you think he did?
Oh, I thought he was fine. To your point, I don't think that this is the game that's going to stress test his relative weaknesses, meaning that him and Scales are almost inverted, meaning that, you know, Scales, his relative strengths are kind of on the ground defending, you know, kind of combativeness, tackling, whereas Navrotsky's is more, that's probably his relative weakness. I'm not saying he's bad at it. I'm just saying that compared to Scales, he's probably, you know, a relative weakness. And on the ball, it kind of inverts. And the positives with Narowski are more so those kind of line-breaking passes and the quickness of getting the ball forward. That comes with some risk. And I think that's where ultimately for the game, that risk was, you know, he did a good job. I mean, at times he's had, you know, some pretty bad giveaways in trying to be quick and going forward. And, you know, again, doing that against St. Mirren doesn't have the risk profile of doing against a higher level opponent, first of all. So, you know, when he takes those risks, it's the risk rewards better against St. Mirren. But he, to his credit, I mean, he was pretty good. I mean, he didn't have an inordinate number of misplaced passes or, you know, what I would call dumb reads, you know, missing a defender who's going to cut off a passing lane, that kind of thing. Because that was, you know, when I saw the lineup and then I realized what was going on with the wind, you know, in honor of Allen's absence. I mean, that is kind of a potential toxic combination on that left side, meaning that, you know, Yang can give the ball away quite a bit. We know Hitate can do that with his risk profile. And then you throw Navratsky in there with his passing profile. And, you know, again, even collectively, because it's against St. Mirren, it's probably not going to be a huge problem because they're not really a counterattacking team either. I mean, even against teams that aren't, you know, Celtic or Rangers, they haven't really been all that proficient in counterattacking this season against other league opponents. So I didn't think that was going to be a huge problem. Fortunately, it didn't turn out to be that. But yeah, I thought Navroski was good. But again, playing at Kilmarnock, I'd probably be a little bit more concerned, for example, in that kind of game versus what we saw over the weekend.
Yeah, and I mean, really what's the test is going to be, is he going to keep his place until the end of the season? And if he does that, does that mean that Brendan Rodgers trusts him to throw him into the derby? Because that's where he will be targeted. That's where we've seen Lagerbielka falter. So that's the ultimate test of Navroski now over the next couple of weeks. Because as much as people can say that Scales isn't up to the standard that's needed for Celtic, and I'm not going on PR mode here, I'm just being like real about this. As much as people want to say that he's not up to the standard, that may be true, but he's still doing something that's keeping these guys out of the team, including Navratsky. Navratsky's been fit. So the test of him now is, can he put together consistent performances to stay in the team now?
Agree. And you know, in fairness to Navratsky, I mean, I think just based off of public comments and, you know, kind of track record as well, is that Rodgers values some degree of consistency in the center back pairing. And in fairness to all the center backs, you know, the gauging how they perform with Carter Vickers as their partner versus when it's one of them, the others, is, you know, kind of apples and oranges. So, you know, Navratsky looking better over the weekend, again, relative to the opponent, those factors, but also having Carter Vickers next to him and Taylor and Johnston in a kind of more of a settled, you know, back five. I suspect, again, because of what Rodgers has said, that this was, you know, assuming that this was just a knock or a short-term thing with Scales, although he's had a couple of them recently. So, you know, that could suggest he's got something nagging that's potentially more chronic. I don't know. Again, who knows? They don't really disclose this stuff very well. But yeah, so my guess is that Scales will come back in as soon as and when he's fit. But I, you know, I don't think I'd be alarmed with Navratsky because we're going to play St. Mirren again. St. Mirren away, probably. I think that would be fine. You know, the rest of the post-split fixtures, I think, would be a little bit more, you know, if it's end, it looks like I think it's going to end up Dundee. That one I'd probably be okay with, although they seem to be a little bit better on the counterattack, a little bit more athleticism up top. But yeah, so I, you know, as a patchwork against that kind of opposition, fine with Navratsky, but I'd actually be surprised, unless it's an injury, that Scales doesn't return.
Yeah, so would I. So would I, given his track record this season under Rodgers and what Rodgers has been saying about him. So we'll wait and see on that one. In terms of the midfield, it's a little bit more straightforward. Rio Hitate clearly makes a difference, and he did so this weekend again. So, like, I mean, we should be doing everything in our power to keep him fit until the end of the season because he has transformed, or at least from the eye test, he gives more energy within the midfield, gives more options within the midfield, and takes some of the responsibility off Matt O'Reilly.
Yeah, his adeptness at finding space, dropping, being able to carry the ball, that was something that Allen and I talked about where we were deficient in ball progression with, you know, a mix of, let's say, Awada, Bernardo, and O'Reilly, and that was requiring O'Reilly to drop deep more, and ball progression isn't really his strength either. So it was, you know, it was more of a numbers game that we were being forced to play, as opposed to, you know, just McGregor or just Hatate, either through pass, quickness of thought, quickness of pass, or picking up the ball and carrying it 20, 30, 40 yards at a clip. So yeah, he's certainly added that. And then we saw, obviously, with the goal, I mean, he's always got that potential for that moment of, you know, brilliance from a skill perspective. And when they come off, that's, you know, that's what we always say. It's game changing potentially. And it certainly was. I mean, that was just a brilliant finish. So yeah, having that wild card domestically, it really is a game changer potentially. You know, probably I would say the two opponents left that, you know, you worry about risk reward with him potentially. I'm not saying it's, you know, it can flip either way. Are again Kilmarnock and in the last derby. But the way Rangers have been playing, and that tactical genius Clement has been selecting his side, I less concerned about that than I would have otherwise been. But so yeah, I huge game changer in our build up, and then also, to your point, kind of unleashing O'Reilly a little more, playing that more almost like a second striker role that he's been, you know, earlier in the season. He's kind of getting into the box, you know, making those runs, late runs. So yeah, it's been good to see that kind of return.
Here's a question that's going to drive people insane. So Celtic's results in the last five games have been 4-2 win against Livingston in the Cup, 3-1 win against St. Johnson, a 3-0 win away to Livingston, the 3-3 draw, or the 3-3 loss, I should say, against Rangers, depending on how you want to look at it, and the 3-0 win against St. Mirren. Results are clearly up. Eye test would suggest Celtic are playing better. What do the numbers say? Are Celtic looking more cohesive and coherent and lucky? Are they playing better based on the numbers?
Yeah, so the underlying metrics are trending in the right direction. You know, shockingly, when your better players are playing, that can be a material difference. And I think that's where, you know, again, to your point before, the difference between data and proficient analysis is, you know, when you look at things over a period of time, whether it's Clement's arrival versus Celtic the entire season, you know, I've talked about this concept of replacement level, you know, and so I would say that the reason why we are materially different than what our season-long averages would suggest are twofold. One is...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The return of players, and not only that, but the gap between what we were getting versus what we are getting now, meaning that you know, Bernardo had some moments of brilliance, like in the latest derby with that pass to Ito, which again was a great pass, but overall I would argue he's kind of been below replacement level of a Celtic midfielder. And with Hatate coming back, I'd say he's, you know, kind of maybe right around or domestically a little bit above that. And then on the wing, Kuhn has, once he's gotten fit and over his medical issues, he's gone to at least replacement level, if not a little higher. And again, for a large part of the season, we were getting below what you would expect from Celtic wingers. And you throw Carter Vickers in there, again, above level, one of our better center backs in recent history, versus those different mixes that we had at various points. So that you could only, you know, expect the overall performance level to increase. The other thing I'll say is Joe Hart's non-shot stopping performance levels have picked up materially since December, to his credit. He's still not doing great in that capacity, but, you know, I think in fairness, with our tongue-in-cheek insults of him as a potted plant earlier in the season, which again, I think were accurate at that time, to his credit, he has improved in those facets of play, to the point where he's, you know, kind of around average, for a league level keeper. Whereas before, I mean, it was a significant detriment to, the level of play. And his shot stopping is kind of, you know, about expected to a little below that. And the reason I bring that up is because, you know, these non-shot stopping aspects of keeper play, I think, continue to be dramatically underappreciated, misunderstood, aren't quantified accurately. You know, I think this is one of the areas where eye test disproportionately skews towards shot stopping. I think that's why the perception of Butlin is way out of, and had been up until the last couple of weeks, where I think it's softened a little bit. But if you look at kind of comprehensive gauges of keeper play, Hart's now surpassed Butlin on the season. And that's not because his shot stopping's been better. It's because Butlin has been so atrocious, particularly in the last month, in non-shot stopping elements, meaning, you know, you saw it in the Ross County game that they just lost. When you dump saves right out in the middle of the front of your goal mouth, you know, that counts as a good shot stop, but then there's the parrying aspect of that. We saw that in the Derby match, where probably a younger, more athletic sweeper keeper may come and get that ball that Tavernier clunks off of Maeda's shin. You know, so there's the ball at your feet and making those kind of errors. And he has one of the highest error rates in Europe for the season. So I think, you know, having been critical of Hart at times this season, I think it's only fair to point out that particularly in the facet of play where he was showing most elements of weakness, he's really picked up. And I hope it continues, obviously, for the remainder of the season. But whether it was a coaching issue or, you know, a focal point of training, whatever, I mean, he's really done a better job at decision-making and, you know, knowing when and deciding when to come for crosses and executing on them, punching well, you know, that type of thing. Again, not at a world beater level, but we didn't need that, quite frankly. What we needed with him was to reduce that risk. And I think he's done an excellent job at doing that.
Yeah. And I think that's what we were looking for throughout the season from everybody. It wasn't that, because I think there has to be a little bit of an acceptance after a certain period of time in this season, because of how bad it got, that as bad as it gets, we don't need to be perfect. We just need to be better than we are at the minute. And that's kind of showing now in the league table. Celtic didn't need to be perfect over this stretch of games over the last 2 months. They just needed to be better than they were. And a better than we were is getting us from drawing loads of games to winning games again. And if you're seeing that with Hart, you're seeing that with Carter Vickers, a couple of players coming back in to add to that little cocktail, and suddenly now you're taking the team that was really performing at about 40%, maybe 50%, to a 65-70%. And it's just the way that the league is, that Celtic at 65-70% of capacity or of quality is still better than most of the league. And probably what we've seen in the derbies is taking that to an even more extreme, where we've actually performed really, really well, and the outcome has been two wins and a draw. So, like, that's where we're at with the season. So really what we need now, after the result Ross County pulled off, I think that was the first win they've, I think it's the first time they've ever beaten Rangers.
I think I saw that, yep.
So for them to do that at this time of the season, that now fully puts the league in Celtic's hands going into the derby. And if Celtic can perform one more time in the derby match, then the league title is likely going to be theirs.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's interesting. You know, styles make fights, we always say, or I always say that. And Ross County actually leads the league in shots off of counterattacks. So, you know, going back to this issue of selection and some of the strategy from Clement, you know, going with the midfield he went with, some of the issues we've been talking about with Goldson's, looks like kind of a normal age-based decline. Tavernier, same thing, and working off of a relatively low base from a defensive perspective. You know, Dow being in there, mystifying to me. Why they haven't had Sterling in midfield more is you know, kind of funny, I think, actually. So, yeah, so styles make fights, and that left them vulnerable, and that's a relative weakness that they've had at times. And when you throw in the mix of those players and Butland having another screamer of a game, in particularly in his non-shot stopping aspects, you know, again, long may it continue. And yeah, I think we've kind of returned to a baseline of performance levels where us dropping points is going to be less likely. But again, we're not this refined engine now, particularly with Maeda out. We can talk about that in a minute if you want. Yet another soft tissue injury. Bad one too, it sounds like. They haven't said anything, but you know, when Rogers mentioned tendon, you know, that usually means some sort of tear. He mentioned the high up on the hamstring. So that revisits kind of the type of injury that Kyogo had, and whether the degree of tear depends on whether or not it requires surgery and recovery time frame. So, you know, does that kind of drag us down a little bit? Again, back to this issue of replacement level, or what level of player we're going to get defensively on that side now. You know, again, that's not Hatate's strength. So, you know, how's that going to shake out? If it's some mix of Yang and Palma, most likely. So, yeah, it's never ending trying to figure out what the relative mix is going to be. But I, you know, again, I think we have the two fixtures in the last five that are the glaring standout ones. I don't worry that much about Hearts. You know, with Shanklin, it's always a risk that, you know, we can drop points against them if he has a kind of one of his worldly games. But generally speaking, you know, we don't lack chance creation against them. And with the return of these players, I would hope that we can score at least 2-3, maybe even 4 goals. So yeah, it comes back to that Kilmarnock and Derby match.
Yeah, the ones that we are not scared of, but we're wary of. Given Mr. Clement's reaction to the defeat, just walking down the tunnel like a spoiled child, I think you could enter the realm of rattled. I think you could use that word to describe him after that game.
Yeah, you know, we talked about this a couple months ago, which is the, you know, the first thing, this idea of both teams getting tested, both managers getting tested into a legitimate title race. Because, you know, as we discussed, Rogers really only has had one. And, you know, was that the last day of the season, I think, when Liverpool lost the title that season, if I recall correctly.
They did and they didn't. Yeah, they lost it well before that in terms of.
Well, right. But and then Clement, you know, the leagues that, again, to his credit, he had a really good run in Belgium. I think it was in Belgium. You know, none of those were down to the wire. I mean, his teams won comfortably. They're the equivalent of post-split wrapping it up, you know, in late April, early May kind of thing. So, you know, and we know the players, you know, just by definition, even at Celtic, none of our players have really been through these kind of, you know, late season, every single fixture is live or die. So far, I would say, you know, skewing in our favor, no question about that. And Rodgers seems to be, you know, he's acting like he's got some stank on his hang low. You know, he's got his swagger a little bit, and yeah, Clement's response to the Ross County result was kind of the opposite of that. So yeah, but you know, these are all just factors, right? You know, some fluky red card at Kilmarnock, and all of this can flip and change fast. So these things are all kind of on the margin, but yeah, I'd say so far the evidence would suggest that the pendulum in that regard's kind of tilted in our direction.
I was thinking about this the other day, and I can't decide that if Celtic do go on to win this title, whether it's the greatest achievement of Brendan Rodgers' career or whether it's the greatest bottle job in Rangers' short history. And I think it's definitely in between the two. There's definitely a clear argument for both.
Yeah, you know, again, that's like the post-Clement arrival. We were so poor, you know, we kind of gave them the opportunity to get back into the title race. A lot of that had to do with injuries and how poor recruitment had been. But, you know, there was some decision-making that we talked about and questioned at the time too. And, you know, again, to Clement and Rangers' credit, they went on a run there to close that gap. But we gave them that opportunity. And now it's kind of the inverse of that, right? I mean, they've been really poor the last month, I'd say. I mean, I think they only have two wins in the last month. So they dropped quite a number of points. And again, to our credit, we're making them pay for that. So, yeah, it's as the pressure cooker turns up, as the heat goes up here, it'll be fun to see, or fascinating to see. It'll be fun if it's one direction, but it'll be fascinating to see who wilts. But you know, as we've seen in the Premier League, the English Premier League, you know, as you can get kind of crazy results. I mean, who would have thought Crystal Palace would have beaten Liverpool, you know? So, you know, as we get into these last 5-6 games, you know, there could still be some twists and turns. I wouldn't count our chickens quite yet. But yeah, again, the trends are certainly favorable.
All right, we said that we were going to keep this short and sweet. Anything that you want to bring up before we finish this off? Without Alan, you know, it really does. It's like playing with Yang on the wing. You know, we're basically playing with two men up top with a winger just doing nothing.
Yeah, we're definitely below replacement level without Alan. But yeah, no, that's it. I mean, looking forward to the finding out who we play. You know, the post-split fixtures and. Obviously, we'll maybe return. I think Alan might be back Friday. We'll have a look towards the cup game over the weekend against Aberdeen. But yeah, no, that's good. Good overall, good performance. I mean, I think it's not given all the trends that we're talking about. I agree. I'd like to see a full kind of 80-90 minute game where everything's clicking. In the abstract. Obviously not great because it didn't happen again, but yeah, the rubbish and the wind. I mean, how can you see when you have streamers blowing in your face You know, how can you deliver those passes to a wide open Hatate when, you know, you've got confetti and streamers in your face? So give him a little bit of slack.
Yeah, I think it's a clock in, clock out sort of situation of, you know, and it's the exact same for this podcast, clock in, clock out. There's nothing crazy we need to talk about, really. Like, it was just a run-of-the-mill 3-0 win, job done, let's move on to the next one. Rangers drop points, happy days, we move on, and we get closer to the split fixtures and the run-in for the title. So Alan will be back with us hopefully next week when he recovers from his long week of drinking on the beach. So I hope he's enjoying that, and I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. If you did, drop us a like, drop us a comment, and subscribe to the channel on YouTube if you haven't done so already. You can get your podcast wherever you want. It's on Spotify, iTunes, or whatever app you use to listen to podcasts. We will be back at some stage this week, potentially, maybe next week, if not. And we'll chat to you then. Good luck.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.